Well, I'd like to welcome you to True Life Church. Nice to have you here today. Good to be back after vacationing for a couple weeks, and thankful to have the Word of God taught by Pastor Steve. It's always nice to know when you leave and you leave the pulpit in somebody's hands that it's going to be filled with someone who's going to be faithful to the teaching of God's Word. And so thank you very much for that, Pastor Steve, and I trust that his teaching was a blessing to you. Before I move to discussion today to 1 Peter chapter 4, which is where I'm supposed to go this morning, I'd like to take a moment to reflect on a couple of verses from 1 Peter 3 that I guess I've had a meaningful relationship with over my years of living as a Christian. And one of the things that, two things about these verses is, number one, is that I found these verses really difficult to live out. And so that's one thing I've found about these verses. And the second thing is that living out these verses is how we allow the light of God to invade the world through us by how we live and what we do. I have observed over the years that a common struggle that occurs in Christianity, and as I mentioned, I find hard to do myself, is how to turn off striking back at other people with unkind words when they bombard me with unkindness, with unfair treatment, or they treat my character with slanderous words. And perhaps you've been in that circumstance or situation in your life. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9 says, to sum up, all you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Those two verses are on the front of your bulletin if you'd like to take a look at them. From last week's lesson, we learned from Pastor Steve that to sum up is a phrase that summarizes, that tells us or gives us an important conclusion on how to apply what has been discussed earlier in the subject. And as we consider verses 8 and 9, we find that we are called to respond with kindness towards others, no matter how difficult they make our circumstances, when we face their criticism or when we face their insulting words. We are to continue to exhibit the love and kindness of Jesus to those who offend us and even to those that hurt us. Loving others is a recurring theme in the Bible. Love your brother. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love is a predominant theme of the Bible because God is love. And our Father is God. And so we are to manifest the character of our God and how we live. This objective of living out the love of God, even in difficult circumstances, are instructions that we get from the Apostle Peter. And some of what he shows us in this passage is, in loving others, we become the light of the world. And in loving others, even in difficult times, we are following the example that Jesus has set for us in his very own suffering. I find it interesting that oftentimes when I find instructions or commandments on the Word of God that are kind of, thus you shall do and thus you shall not do, that when I look back through the Scriptures, I find that Jesus Christ himself in his human form was living under that same guideline and serves as an example to us of how we are supposed to do what God has told us to do. In other words, Jesus lives out the principles of God just as we are instructed to live out the principles of God. Something that is taught in these verses is that vengeful words and abusive words, the return of evil and insult with words of evil and insult, is not appropriate conduct for members of the family of God. This morning, please give your undivided and prayerful attention to consider the instruction. It says in verse 8, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. Note here that the child of God is to prioritize in their heart certain godly attitudes. They are to prioritize certain godly values. The godly attitudes that we are to prioritize in our heart is to be harmonious, to be sympathetic, to be brotherly, to be kind-hearted, to live with a humble spirit. These are the attitudes that we are to carry forward in our heart as we live for God day to day. And it is because we own these attitudes that God has called us to own, and because of the empowerment of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, because we possess these attitudes in our heart, they become the source or the resource that help us to bless others in the time in which we may be cursed by them. It is these embedded attitudes in our heart that guide our conduct to not return evil for evil or insult for insult. And it's interesting that God doesn't just tell us in this passage to refrain from doing something, that is, returning evil for evil, not returning insult for insult. But God says there is also something positive we need to do, and that is to give a blessing instead. Wow. That is really kind of an out-of-world command, isn't it? It seems to be more of a common thing among people that when someone uses awful words, hurtful words against us, our natural tendency is to want to fire back at them, wanting to give back to them the hurt that they gave to us with their words and their actions. When someone takes a jab at us with their mean-spirited words, our fleshly reaction is wanting to respond with the right cross of mean-spirited words to get back at them. However, Peter confronts the believer and says that is exactly the wrong-headed response for the child of God to do when he is attacked by somebody else. Peter's confrontation here is supported by the insight that we receive in James chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. It says this, see how a forest is set aflame by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and sets on fire and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a relentless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. We have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing, and then the exhortation, my brother, these things ought not to be. Should not be named among us to act in that way. Should not be characteristic of our behavior. Should not be part of our attitude. Should not be part of our demeanor to allow the deadly poisons of the tongue to escape our body and to bring harm to others. You know, no person living in the flesh can fully tame their tongue. However, in the name of Jesus, walking in the Spirit-filled Christian life, a child of God through the power of God can refrain from exercising or excreting the deadly poison that flows from their tongue. You know, that deadly poison that can escape from our tongue can really cause infection in our relationships with other people. It can really create emotional affections in our relationships with others. The word from 1 Peter 3 are rather straightforward to us. Not returning evil for evil, insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit the blessing. God's word and Holy Spirit make it clear, responding to someone's wrongdoing by becoming a wrongdoer yourself is not godly behavior. And it does not bring glory to your Savior, and it does not broadcast the light of Jesus Christ in the dark world. The philosophy of the world, and you might have heard it somewhere along the way, is fight fire with fire. Get them more than they get, even better than they get you. However, remember, that is the worldly philosophy. That is not God's way. God instructs his children to fight hate with love. And those who cause you suffering, respond to them with a blessing. Just think how different things would be in this world if this principle was universally applied by all people in life. Just think about what might look different in the world if just this simple principle was applied in everybody's life. Just think, if this principle of not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead were applied in every family, what would happen to domestic abuse statistics in our culture? What would happen in marital conflicts and relationship with other family members if this principle were faithfully applied to our lives? What would happen to road rage if this principle were applied frequently in our world? What would happen to the spirit of wanting to get even when we feel we have been mistreated? The infection of bitterness and resentment grows in relationship if we are not driven by the right attitudes. And I remind you, the right attitudes: harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. If we give a blessing instead of another curse. Just think, if this principle, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing, just think what would happen if this was a principle that was practiced in a widespread habit in Christian churches today. How many church splits would have been avoided? And how many Christian community fractures could have been circumvented just by the application of the principle of these two verses? Would not living under the authority of the right attitude defined by God not be a powerful tool, not be a powerful way to release the light of God into this world? Giving a blessing to adversary rather than returning hate for hate. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And these verses from 1 Peter 3:8-9 tell us what some of the actions are of a heart that is filled with love. That is one of the ways that we express love to other people. Now, just think, if believers took this principle to work, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving instead a blessing. Just think about if all Christians practiced this principle in the community, in the places where they work, in the places where they play, in the organizations that they are involved with, how many volatile and potentially violent reactions would be subdued, and how many lives would be spared from escalating conflicts because evil words and insults were brought to the halt by the conduct of a believer? Just this past week, a man was killed, and a suicide followed. From the escalating of insults and evil words over the use of a boat ramp. What a terrible price to pay for escalating conflict through evil words and using insulting words against other people. You see, it makes a difference. How you use your tongue makes a difference. Set the world on fire or bring a cool, refreshing drink to calm it down. Would not the frequent and regular practice of this principle from God's word change homes, change churches, and yea, even change communities? I think the consistent practice of this biblical principle could result in much good happening in families, churches, and communities. I challenge you to something today. I challenge you to try to apply this principle in each situation you find yourself in over the next couple weeks. And I want to suggest to you, get your Bible out this afternoon and get 4 or 5 3-by-5 cards. And take a moment on each of those cards to write down these two verses, 1 Peter 3:8 and 9. And after you've written them down, as after you've written this down on 4 or 5 different cards, pray and say, God, I want to be this person that you describe in this passage. Then I want you to take one of those cards and put them on the mirror in your bathroom. I want you to take one of those cards and put it on the dashboard of your car. Take one of those cards and put it in your kitchen. Take one of those cards and maybe put it on your desk at work. Find 4 or 5 places that you frequent during the course of your life. And every time, don't just look at that card, but look at that card and read out loud those two verses. And say at the end of the reading of that scripture, and Lord, help me be that person. And Lord, help me be that person. The writing out of this verse 4 or 5 times will help cement it in your mind. Reading it frequently during the day will remind you that there may be a habit that needs to change in our life, or a habit that we need to develop in our life in terms of how we respond to people. And I want you to do this for just a couple weeks and see if it doesn't impact your thinking, and see if it doesn't impact how you treat others and how you live. I want to challenge you. Take up the challenge of give a blessing instead. That's your job, to be a person who gives a blessing instead. That's the mission that God has for us to apply to our life as we live out this week. Give a blessing instead. Now let us move to 1 Peter 4:1-6. It says this, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so that as you live the rest of time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already passed is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached, even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. Now, the word therefore introduces to us some application points of the things that we have learned prior in our study of 1 Peter. For instance, in 1 Peter 2:19-25, the believers were challenged by Peter to bear up under unjust suffering. They were encouraged to do the right thing when they were harshly treated by people. Peter called the believers to display their faith and trust in God, even though they were treated with contempt, even though they're treated with ridicule by the world for being a follower of Christ. As has been mentioned several times in Peter, we are exhorted to follow Jesus' example. And the things Jesus did and the suffering that Jesus endured, the unjust suffering, I will say, that Jesus endured by fallen people in this world, Jesus remained innocent and holy in all things. Even when abused and insulted by the world, he did not utter threats of insult. He did not utter any bad words under verbal and physical abuse. Jesus did not fight fire with fire, but he continued to trust himself to the Heavenly Father who is sovereign in all things. Now, I took some time to think about this a little bit this week, and it was hard for me to imagine all of this. But I had to come to realize that part of God's will for Jesus was for him to go through suffering in this world. Now, we've probably observed in our lifetime that righteousness is often ridiculed by the fallen world. Have you noticed that along your journey? And sometimes this righteousness is even persecuted by the world. Ever read any articles from the Fox's Book of Martyrs? Those that have suffered great harm giving their life because of their righteous commitment to God. However, what we see in Jesus' life is what the world intended for evil against God's Son, God used to bring salvation to humanity. You remember the story of Joseph, right? What my brothers intended for me for harm, God intended for good. And this is the same principle we see in the fallen world's persecution and crucifying of Jesus Christ. What the world intended for evil and producing the suffering upon Jesus, what did God do? He turned it to good. And through it, he brought to all of us redemption and salvation. And so before we begin to react to the suffering that we might face in our life, or in difficulties that we might fall under, or when we are faced with insulting words and unkind behavior of other people, maybe we ought to consider that God can work in this too. And God can make in this mess of things some very beautiful things that will result in him being honored and glorified. And is this not what our faith ought to teach us? That our sovereign God, who knows all things, that when he allows troubles to come upon our life, that when we respond rightly to what God has brought into our life by applying his principles to our life, God will bring glory to himself. And so our trouble may just be a pathway to us bringing honor and glory to God in a way that would have never been possible had we not remained faithful to applying God's principle in our life. Romans 8, 28 and 9. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. You mean suffering? You mean harassment? You mean unkind words? You mean insulting words, that even these things God can work together for good to those that love Christ? Does your faith believe? Does your faith stand on that promise? To those who are called according to his purpose, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of God. Remember the theme of Peter? Follow the example of Christ. Conform to the image of Christ is to follow his example and to live in the way in regard to those things, the way that Jesus lived in regard to those things. When we are in times of peace and good, boy, it's really easy to say amen to Romans 8 and 28. And when we are in times of peace, it's really easy to say amen to 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. No problem. I can wholeheartedly agree with those verses, and I can wholeheartedly apply those verses to my life. However, when put under the pressure of unkindness, when put under the pressure of evil, do we still believe? Do we still know all things work together for good? Romans 8:31 asks us this question. If God is for us, who can be against us? So if we rest with our trust and faith in Him, we know that wherever we go, God not only goes with us, but He goes before us in regard to that situation. Therefore, as we read 1 Peter 4:1, it tells us again not to fight fire with fire as the world teaches us, but we are to arm ourselves with the same purpose. In other words, we are to pattern our temperament and our responses to our own suffering by following the example of Jesus when facing difficult and unfair circumstances. The reason to arm ourselves with the same purpose The reason to arm ourselves with the same purpose as Christ did when we face suffering of a Christian is because he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but the will of God. Now, I admit these verses are a bit ambiguous and unclear, and so they require a bit of deeper thinking. In this passage, I want to ask you to compare Scripture with Scripture. And in doing so, we are able to clarify the biblical explanation that helps us understand Peter's teaching here. And I believe the best way to interpret 1 Peter 4:1 and 2 is to look at them through a parallel passage penned by the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 23. I've printed that chapter on the back of your bulletin. I'm not going to try to read through the entire chapter, but I put it there because I think it's worthy of your time to read. And I don't mean now. I mean, wait till after the service when you're in a quiet place and you can give that. I would like to bring a couple excerpts from that passage as we think about 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2. This morning, I think 1 Peter 4, 1 through 1 and 2 need to be viewed in light of Romans 6, 5 through 7. 5 through 7 say this, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, that our old self was crucified, our old self died with him, in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he," speaking of the believer, "for he who has died is freed from sin." See, Christ's followers, Christians, are united with Christ in the likeness of his death. And we are to live for Jesus on this earth. We are to live in Jesus. What is true in heaven is true for us on earth as well in following God. Believers are to declare themselves to be dead and free from sin. Non-believers are plagued with the curse of yielding obedience to the sin nature, for they have no option. They are dead in their sins and their trespasses. However, the believer is set free in Jesus. Therefore, we can arm ourselves with the purpose for which God has marked out in our life. We can live for the purpose for which Jesus died, and that is to glorify God in all things, 1 Corinthians 10, 31. And this glorifying God in all things includes glorifying God in the hard times, in the times of suffering, in the times of being abused by others. This is what God has equipped us to be able to do through the salvation that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of His indwelling Spirit, as we apply the principles of God's Word to how we live. The purpose with which we arm ourselves is that during the rest of our time in the flesh, in other words, in the rest of our time upon this earth, we should live knowing, 1 Peter 4:3, the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. You see, in your new life in Jesus Christ, the term Gentile meaning unsaved, when you were unsaved, you had plenty of time to do those things when you didn't know the Lord. You had plenty of time to live by the values of the world because the values of the world were the only things you knew back then. And they seemed right and they seemed pleasing back then. But then you came to the saving knowledge of Christ. And these things that were associated with unsaved lives have now passed away in the believer's life because the believer in their new birth has a new life in the name of Jesus. They have a new nature in the name of Jesus. They have exchanged those old things of that Gentile life, of that unsaved life, have been exchanged for something new and something better. And these something new and something better things are associated with our new nature and our eternal life. The old things have passed away and new things have become. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Now, new things have come. The Christian who follows Christ has died to sin and therefore should turn away from the desires of the unsaved life. Then as a believer gives up the things of the world, they will begin to oppose the things of the world. And when we oppose the things of the world, we oppose them not only for ourselves, but we oppose them for our family. We oppose them, and when we do, the world is going to ridicule. The world may mock. The world may even cause suffering as we seek to live as new creatures for Christ. The fallen world has no love lost for the believer. But be assured, segments of the fallen world will target believers for ridicule and harm. This will likely increase in intensity as the world continues to work to exchange good for evil and evil for good. Does it not seem ironic to you that you as a believer are accused of being the morally misguided, the narrow-minded, the old-fashioned, and a foolish person for not supporting the LGBTQIA+ lifestyle? Is it not true that believers are currently being called names and ridiculed for opposing that agenda? And are our families and our values not attacked, the biblical values not attacked in the fallen world? As the world seeks to indoctrinate our children, indoctrinate them out of Christianity to embrace ungodly lifestyles that the Bible says is morally wrong and spiritually evil. In 1 Peter 4:3, Peter tells us that what we once might have accepted as a non-believer, that time of sin's dominance over our life, it has ended in the name of Jesus, and we have become something new, free from sin. Read about it in Romans 6. And when you were born as a child of God, your life was transformed by the living Holy Spirit who moved you from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. And when you live out your new life for God's glory, the world is going to notice you. And the world may even be shocked by the transformation that has occurred in your life, for your values change. You no longer live for and follow demands of the sin nature. At your spiritual birth, you gained a new perspective and a new orientation to life. Look at verse 4. God's value becomes your value, and 1 Peter 4:4 expresses this as noticeable, for it is a dramatic change in the life of the believer. In all this, they, the fallen world, are surprised. In other words, they are astonished by the strangeness of your biblical values. They are surprised by your changed behavior from what you were prior to Christ to what you are now in Christ. In all this, they are surprised. And what are they surprised? That you do not run with them. In other words, you no longer follow the crowd of the fallen world. You are no longer making yourself accessible to drugs and new drug trends. You're not embracing you will not embrace what they're running to, the new trends in sexual conduct or should I say misconduct. They are surprised that you're not running with them as you abandon the old idols of your former life. You see, they notice that there's something different about you because of the spiritual birth that has happened in you. And it says that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. Dissipation is debauchery. It means a senseless and reckless conduct of unprincipled behavior morally and ethically. And it says that as they are surprised, and you do not run with them, and you don't practice what they practice, notice what it says, and they malign you. The term malign comes from the Greek term blasphemo, where we get blasphemy from. In other words, they are going to take your desire for God's goodness, and in your desire for God's goodness, they are going to vilify you for it. They are going to show no respect for your values. They are going to show no respect for your God, and they are going to speak evil of you. That's what we can expect from a fallen world. Verse 5 says, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. You see, those who malign you for your faithfulness to God, they will be held accountable for their unfaithfulness, for their sinful indulgence. And they will be held accountable for their idolatrous practices as they worship the flesh in different ways with immoralities and lawlessness in society. The non-believer will give an account of themselves before a holy God. They will stand before sovereign God who is omniscient and knows everything. He knows everything they did in public. He knows everything they did behind closed doors. And they will give an account to God. No unsaved person will escape this final judgment at the great white throne judgment, Revelations 20, 11 through 15. This is why it is good to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why it is good for us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why it is good for us to live our testimony before the unsaved as the light of God. For if they cannot be persuaded to turn away from the old way, from being dead in their trespasses and sin, they will live eternity under God's judgment. And we need to deem in our life that our suffering is worth it to be the light of Jesus Christ, that some or someone might be won to eternity in the name of Jesus. It says in verse 6, I'll close with this verse. For the gospel for this purpose then preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. You know what? We have already seen in our lives that the gospel that has been preached to those who are dead, that it makes a difference. You know why? Because we were once the dead. And it is through the preaching of the gospel that we came to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Somewhere, someone, somewhere witnessed to us the gospel. They testified that it was Jesus who died for our sin and rose again. And while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sin, it is through the preaching of that gospel that we came to accept Christ as our own Savior. And therefore, we should follow that same model of being faithful preachers, faithful representatives, faithful light bearers of that gospel message, so that others too that are dead in their trespasses and sin might come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. The gospel was preached to you for a purpose, to bring you to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Without the preaching of the word to us, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sin. This is why we continue the foolishness of the preaching of God's word today, just as 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God." The world in its wisdom did not come to know God. You see that every day, right? God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. I'm glad somebody preached to me the gospel of Jesus. Are there people in your life that are glad for you because you have been the light that has preached the gospel to them? And they are grateful for the difference that you have made in their life because of the light that you bore for Jesus Christ and following Jesus. My closing thought for today is this. And this thought kind of culminates what we talked about in 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9, and what we're talking about here in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 through 4. This week, as our family sat in the Oakland airport to come back to Montana, I saw this message on a shirt. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than to stand with the world and be judged by God. Let me say that again. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than to stand with the world and be judged by God. This is a statement that is easy to wrap our minds around. It is a harder statement to practice beyond the walls of the church in walking with God. Yes, as the world might judge us, as the world might call us names, As the world may bring suffering to our lives and insult us for our faith in God, insult us for the values that we hold in regard to God's truth, I encourage that we stand as the children of God, choosing to honor God than to honor the things of the world. When we choose to stand for God, we do so not just for our own good, but also for the good of those that we seek to bring the gospel to, that they might come to know the blessed love and salvation of the Savior who has brought to us eternal lives. So get out your 3x5 cards this week, write it down, and I know you're well-intentioned here, and it's going to take some discipline as you go home to, one, remember, and number two, to do it. You got to go find a pen. You got to go find the cards. You got to make some effort. You got to open the Word. You got to write them out. You got to strategize where you're going to put them. Yeah, it's going to take some work to apply it to your lives, but I encourage you to do that. Make your faith real to make a difference for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives this day. And we only have a great gospel message to share with others because you have brought that great gospel message to us. And it is in that message that you have given to us, Lord, that we have the privilege of now proclaiming it to others. We ask our Father that you might use us. That you might use us to be your light to the world. And we know that to be your light to the world means that we do not live in the old ways of the flesh, but we live in the new ways of the new nature. And we do things that the world is going to look at and say, that looks rather strange. And it should look strange because it's not the same thing that we are, that they are. We are offering to them something different than what the world has to offer. And so, Lord, we give you the honor and glory for being a great God and for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you as you walk with the Lord this week.